word.
World.
What up, folks? It's O'Shea Davis with the Work and Wonder podcast show where we talk about
world.
Today's episode is finishing up on the second part series about leadership, the book by Jocko Willink, Leadership Strategies and Tactics. Now, I do not consider myself a specialist on this topic, so please don't assume because I'm reviewing this book means I know a lot about leadership. Only know what I've read and what I educated myself about and what I have personally experienced. So I want that disclaimer to be there. If you listen to my first episode of leadership, thank you. This is now the second episode about leadership. Let's get started. All right. So Jocko's book is a 300-page book, like I mentioned in the last podcast, but it is a very thick book. But it is also compressed to a half a page. It's compressed to half the page of most books. So keep that in mind. 300 pages sounds very overwhelming to most people. However, it's not as bad as it sounds. However, in this book, he is pretty redundant, and I must admit that. Part 2, Leadership Tactics. Now, there's 12 important principles that practically summarize and wrap up this entire book. And that is, 1, be humble. 2, don't act like you know everything. 3, listen. 4, treat people with respect. 5, work hard. 6, take ownership of failures and mistakes. 7, pass the credit for success up and down the chain. 8, have integrity. 9, be balanced. 10, be decisive. 11, build relationships. And 12, lastly, get the job done. How to be chosen to lead. The way to give ourselves a chance for a promotion or leadership is simply and straightforward performance. First, show up. Be the first to show up and be the last to leave. Make your goal helping the team to win and don't feel the need to be in charge of everything. And when you're not chosen, if they bring someone from the outside to be part of the leadership team, keep your feelings to yourself. Do an honest assessment of yourself to see why you were not chosen. As people, we have a strong tendency to get defensive. Not all leaders are good, and giving direct feedback is hard for some people. Do not hold a grudge against a person who got promoted. Help them win and put your ego aside. Now, there's a such thing as called imposter syndrome. If you are worried because you don't believe you're ready for a leadership position, that means you're humble. If you're nervous, it means you're going to do the best you can to prepare for this leadership role. If you ever feel you're getting too confident, take a step back. Plain arrogance will destroy a leader and his team. Balancing confidence with not too much, but not too little is a consistent battle. Not all leaders are good, and giving direct feedback is hard for some people. As a leader, you very well could experience some form of insecurity and overcoming doubt. So checking the ego with time, experience, and pursuing the way to continue to learn. Now, when we transition from follower or peer to leader, come up with a plan. Give simple, clear, concise direction. Stay humble, take input, and listen. There's going to be some people who don't want to see you succeed as a leader, and that's okay. But you still have to step up and lead. So remember to look up and out, not down and in at your team. Don't be the leader with your hands in your pocket, but don't be a leader with hands in everything. You won't be able to lead proficiently. So never force your rank down people's throats. Spend a lot of time observing, then slowly make changes in an incremental manner. Don't change things that are working. Don't be that leader that goes, I'm going to do everything my way. I'm controlling every step along the way. We're going to do this different. We're going to do this different. We're going to do this different. It's going to make a lot of people not like you. So don't do that. Also, don't go overboard, Rambo. Barking orders, I'm in charge, you listen up now, would not go over well for most people. Best leaders lead by suggestions, not by orders. Best leaders lead by suggestions, not by order. Indirect leadership almost always trumps direct leadership. Leader's voice loses its value because it's heard too often. And being subtle is much more accepting until you have to take a more direct approach. Now we get into leadership skills. Now, when it's time to step up and lead, we got to know that we have to take tactical pauses to understand the problem and solution more clearly. Everyone wants to offer their opinion and give advice and weigh in on the decision. As the old narrative goes, too many chiefs and not enough Indians. Everyone wants to give their opinion, so be prepared. This can inhibit the decision-making process and the leader's ability to lead if they're trying to take what everybody says into account. So you do have to take some of it with a grain of salt. The idea is dispersion is taught so people don't bunch up and reduce progression of the mission. Don't take criticism personally. Fight your ego and avoid taking things personally. Detach and listen from an objective mindset and see if you can learn anything at all. Then apply it and say thank you, which requires repeatedly mentioned in this book. So humility is always mentioned in this book. This is by far one of the number one ideas and principles. And here's another idea by Jocko Willink. He talks about don't dig in. So don't overcommit to ideas and keep an open mind. You leave yourself an out. Don't dig in, meaning stand on the basis or the biasness that's rooted in not changing unless you have no choice. When things are done immorally, unethically, or illegally, then it's not up for discussion for you to change your mind. But always keep an open mind, but still be decisive about your decision. And this goes into the idea of iterative decision making. Be defensive. Indecision is a result of fear, analysis, paralysis. So rushing to make a decision without fully understanding what is happening can be just as bad. So let the situation develop and to allow things to unfold. Iterative process is the situation and made small in the making of small decisions to move toward a direction that works best toward the solution. Keep an open mind. And he talks about, again, decentralized command or lazy designation. So do we just choose to pick people to play those roles because we don't even want to bother trying to figure out what's going on? Or do we actually use decentralized command as a means to actually get the work done? So you got to disperse the work. You can't do everything. Once again, the idea is for you to put people who are competent, people who are informed and completely understand the purpose of the mission. And don't let yourself be an easy butt. As a leader, if you're really good at what you do and people notice that, you're going to be seen as the easy button. What is the easy button? Well, it's quite simple. If you know what you're doing and every time your team is struggling, they look at you and go, what do we do? Can you do this for me? Even when you know they can do it. Take the time out and tell them, figure it out. That's okay. It's good for them. You want the team to progress in leadership positions so they're not relying on you forever. So don't be that easy button. As a new leader, don't judge each of your members based on what you have heard or read. Try to keep an open mind. Judge for yourself. Say you should not consider any, I'm not saying you shouldn't consider any prior history that the person might have, but read it, listen to it, and make note of it, but give the person the benefit of the doubt for a fresh start. Only when their actions match that prior history is then when you can confirm their judgment of them. So leading properly can help improve these flaws if possible. It may not be the fact that they were not good. Maybe they didn't have good leaders and they needed a little bit more guidance and they was not giving that guidance. A lot of leaders are very impatient and expect everyone to know the job, especially if they've been doing it for a long period of time. They forget how it feels to be new. If you've been doing anything for 20, 30 years and someone's been on any job or career or any position for, let's say, 2 or 3 years, you may assume that, oh, when I was 3 years in, 4 years in, I knew what I was doing. Well, there was times when you didn't. And it's hard to remember that because you've been so disconnected from the beginning because you've been in the game too long. So take a minute and do not judge them based on their reputation. Get to know who they are. And sometimes we have to conform to influence. Not everyone likes to get after it. Being fired up and highly motivated can offend some people. And up and down the chain. So when you're part of the team, you have to perform with the team. Do your best not to disrupt them as a unity, which can negatively impact operational readiness. If you don't fit into the circle and you try to force the circle to be more like you, you're going to get a lot of pushback. There's going to be a lot of people who don't like you. And you're not going to necessarily be the best leader for every team, but you definitely want your team to improve where they are. You can't change the group if you're not in the group. So be a part of the group. Don't judge them from the outside, but join the group too and figure out how do they operate? How do they do things? It's a period as a leader, you spend most of your time observing and listening. And this is not just a leader position. This is anybody, even in a subordinate position, to figure out how do they do things and figure out how to do it with them. Positivity is very, very important. If you have a poor attitude, it's not going to help. But if you're also overly positive or overly ambitious about everything without any touch of realism, it's going to create a lot of issues. So no matter what goes wrong, it's not a setback. It's a setup for a comeback. Learn for what occurred. Don't ignore problems. Don't gloss over the trials you face. Be positive, but be realistic. Part of your tactics and part of your strategies is learning how to maneuver. As a person who plays chess quite often, I'm not claiming that I'm very good at it. I say I'm decent, but we need to know what are the maneuvers required. And using leadership to teach and build is one of those maneuvers. One is fixing negative attitudes. Two is teaching humility. Three is building and rebuilding confidence. And four is building high-level team players. Going back to fixing negative attitudes, assigning individuals in leadership roles to teach them as subordinates of what they're capable of can very well fix a negative individual. Now, not all negative attitudes can be fixed, but you can find ways to tap in with that person to figure out why they're being so negative. If there's nothing you can do, they may have to be assigned to another team. Maybe they don't like you as a leader. Maybe they don't like the team. Maybe they're just grumpy and been in this position so long, they don't know how to think otherwise. And number two, teaching humility. How many times have I said humility in this podcast episode in the previous? It is so oversaid in this book. So you know what that is. How do you teach somebody? Well, sometimes you got to give a mission. Sometimes you got to give them a task. Sometimes it may be kind of easy and then it gets moderate and then it becomes difficult until they get humbled and realize they don't know everything and sometimes they have to ask for help. That's how you teach an arrogant person humility or sit down and have a conversation with them about their arrogance. Building and rebuilding confidence. One thing I know helps most people build their confidence is training. Going out there and practicing in those skills makes you feel more ready for the next mission or ready for the next objective or ready for the next sale or ready for the next performance. Take time out to get better at your craft. I say perfect your craft, but the craft is never really perfected. It's always in working progress. So teaching them something new and have them master it. Teach the person something new and say, hey, let's get good at it. Let's get great at it. Four, building high-level team players. This goes back to training. This goes back to building confidence. And when junior members are putting in charge of training operations or evolutions, they learn some valuable skills. They can use that to help themselves and how to organize a team and how they can play a better part when you're in charge again. They go, oh, I see why this individual put me in this position or why I'm supposed to do what I'm supposed to do. You don't know how hard it is to set up a meeting until you set up a meeting. You don't know how hard it is to set up training and organize groups and groups of people until you start trying to do it. And then it humbles you because everyone is in a back seat talking about the person in a higher position and they're armchair quarterbacking it all the time. And you hear it everywhere. Why is the manager doing this? Why is the CEO doing this? Why is this person doing this? Why is he doing this? This is stupid. And you hear that so often. Most people who talk like this don't know how it feels to be in that position. So they really don't know. All they can think of is from their perspective, which is extremely limited because they're not over as many people as this person is. Be quiet for a second. Think about why they may be doing it. And I guarantee you there's usually some kind of logical answer. Unless the person is being unreasonable or emotionally charged, then yes, they're choosing a bad decision based on those things. But don't assume you know everything because you're behind a leader. There is things that you're not supposed to do as a leader or things to consider and watch yourself before you start to do it or if you're doing it. One of those things is micromanagement. The other thing is indecisiveness and weak-minded or egotistical. Always support your leader. You got to support your leader. If you're not supporting the leader in an organization, then chances are you're not helping the mission get any better. Now, if you just truly believe your leader is incompetent and not good at what they do, it's very hard to back them up. But at the end of the day, you can't change your leader. If you can have the power to change him, then yeah, of course you will change him. But until then, you just got to do what you got to do while you're there. And after all, they are unfortunately the leader, and most great leaders won't take all the credit, but there will be those who want you to give them all the credit. And those people usually aren't very nice people. If they're in that position, you still got to do your part, give them the credit, and eventually the person will be moved out of their position or retire or quit because they're either tired of it or their time is up or they're just not the person for the job. And there's tons more concepts in this section. However, I will move on to the last and final section to reduce the amount of redundancy that this book displays. So here's one very, very important idea: communication. This applies to every single relationship, not just job, but if you're dating or if you have parents. If there's people involved, communication is the root. So keep your troops or keep your individuals or keep your coworkers or keep whoever informed. So that way, when things go up and down the chain, information gets up and down the train, it establishes trust and enables them to operate with the latest known intel. So they're in the know. If they're not in the know and you are and you forget to tell them and then they do something opposing the mission and you go, why did you do that? And they go, well, based on our training, we always do this. And you go, oh, I forgot to tell you not to do this because I didn't communicate it to you. That goes back to the extreme ownership concept. You got to communicate. You got to prevent rumors. That's how you prevent rumors, by intercepting them, by giving them knowledge. If you hide information, if you seem dishonest, you seem like you're not loyal, people will create rumors and it will make the department or organization or whatever it is not trust you. So communicate. Give them clear guidance. Giving clear instructions, following up with the team. If they don't understand what's being asked, don't attack them for that. Just ask them again and find ways to explain it better for them. Be specific and concise as you can. Here's one thing the older generation has told. Here's a phrase that the older generation and the generation before that has told every generation after it. And that is, because I said so. Don't do what I do. Do as I say, not as I do. What a piss poor way to lead. This will never fly. It's undermining. And you should never even use this with your kids. Being able to explain why will have your team members committed to the task with full effort. Now, there's times when you can't always tell them why. I get it. Immediate danger, immediate situations. But afterwards, tell them this is why we did it this way. That is so good for them to know, because then it builds trust. It builds loyalty. People go, okay, now I know why. I'm not going to keep asking why, because I know there's a reason. I just wait till afterwards and then ask, what was the reason? And they will tell me. This will help your relationship with your team. If you give them this BS, I said so, it's just not going to fly. It's not going to work. You can't forcefully give orders all the time and expect people to like you. Now, if someone's in danger, like I mentioned, that's a different situation. So not all actions required of you needs an explanation. So please don't get it twisted. But once again, we're out to build trust, respect, and connection. Now, Jocko talks about praising your subordinates, praising your team members, your crew members, your coworkers. But how too much praise can actually be the downfall. When you tell somebody that they're so good and always good, always good, they either stop believing it or it stops sounding genuine. So be careful with that. But don't be the leader who never says anything positive to your crew or positive to your organization. Don't do that. Because if you're that person, they never feel like they've done anything good. And it's going to be one of those things where they go, well, oh, I just do my job. And no one's really excited about it. But when you know you did good, most people want to do better. And that's how you got to treat it. So praise is a great tool, but should not be considered a way to always get people to do better. He talks about hope, how hope itself is not a reliable tool, because hope is really when you're in desperate situations where you've done the logistics, you've done the background of strategy, and now we're in this position where all we can do is fully commit. Giving your people the opportunity to believe and hope at this point could be the difference between winning and losing. But if you rely on hope alone, which hope is an emotional response, you are not going to see the best results. So hope should not be used all the time. It should be used really in rare occasions because hopefully you prepared the team for certain situations and they feel prepared to handle it without hope. But hope is still a great, fantastic tool. Hope ties in also with faith, and faith is extremely strong. It doesn't need any kind of logical explanation when you have faith. Lastly, he talks about ultimatums and how detrimental and how rarely they should be used because it's a serious occasion. And one, making an ultimatum as a boss. Two, making an ultimatum as a subordinate. And three, dealing with an ultimatum placed on you when you're making an ultimatum on the boss. So when you're making an ultimatum as the boss, we're assuming that this is the last resort. You've tried and tried and tried, but either an individual or a group of individuals are not performing up to par. So you're going to have to get a little bit more personal. You may have to actually micromanage at this point, which means that you may have to work with each person individually and figure out what are their weaknesses so the team can perform better. If they don't, they may have to go. You may have to fire someone. You may have to let someone go or find them a different position. That's an actual thing. So making an ultimatum as a boss, no one likes it. But when you're making an ultimatum as a subordinate, be very, very, very careful. If you're that individual who's like, I've been the top best performer and I deserve a raise. If you don't give me a raise, I'll quit. That's not going to go over well for most organizations. So try to not get super emotionally triggered. Take the time to consider your own value, consider where you are. And if you're really that concerned with the raise, go about it a strategy in mind, a spreadsheet in mind. Proof of your numbers, proof of your performance, proof of your value, and say, am I not worthy of this amount of this salary based on what I provided for this company? If the answer is no, then you may have to consider another job. If you are pretty confident that you've been doing really well in this organization and you've been making a difference and your numbers stand out from everyone else's, then at that point, I get it. You may have to very well say, hey, I can't be here any longer. Because I can't afford to be in this position and not be able to pay my bills. At that case, a couple things will happen. Either you need to fix your finances or you need another job. And hopefully at least one or two of these ideas stuck out in your head and made you evaluate yourself or evaluate your current leader or evaluate how you want to be as a leader. The last couple ideas is one, reflect and diminish. When you make a decision, go back and reflect on that decision and understand why you may have done that. And if you did go about that decision incorrectly and you've made poor choice of words, you may have to apologize. And as a leader, that's such a valuable tool to apologize and make people know that you're human. You're not perfect. If you don't apologize and you think you're perfect and you think you're above everyone else, it's not going to go well. And that goes to being approachable, but careful with your words and setting the example. Being approachable, coming to your crew members, coming to your coworkers, saying hello, saying good morning. Allow your office to be an open door. Don't shut your door off and ignore everybody. Even if you're having a hard time at home, don't let other people see that you're in a bad mood because it affects how the team feels about you. They're going to say, well, we just don't know what we're going to get from this person. One day, he or she is happy and glad and excited. The other day, they're upset and angry and frustrated. The other day, and you come off as a unstable leader. You come off as an unstable leader. So be aware of that. Setting the example. You cannot come to someone else, even if they're in a different position as you, and you show up late all the time. You're not very aggressive about getting your work done. You're not setting a good example. And then be mad that the team is a reflection of you and go, why are you guys or you girls not performing up to speed? You have to do an honest assessment of yourself and go, am I setting the example? Because when you set the example, people are looking. So if someone has done something that you have done, you cannot get mad at them. You are the leader. You must have the extreme ownership of yourself, of your actions, of your words, and of your thoughts. The conclusion to this book is it's all on you, but it is not about you. It's about the team. It's about the mission of the team. Don't be narcissistic. Don't be self-absorbed. Don't be selfish, egotistical. Breathe. Ask people what they think of you. And if you're not ready for the answer or you're afraid to ask, chances are that means you need to get better. Thank you all for listening in to this Work and Wonder podcast episode of Leadership Strategies and Tactics by Jocko Willink. This is the second and final part of the book. I hope you read the book and keep it as reference or listen to this podcast again. First episode and second episode, and write down some of the most important things that stuck out to you and apply it in your life. This is what this podcast is about. I am your favorite philomathic public figure podcaster, meaning I love to learn and I might not be, but maybe one day I will be. We're here for each other to learn. That's why I bring people all walks of life on this podcast so we can learn from each other, because that's how we grow as people, is building relationships, building connections, and see that we are not perfect. We gotta be perspectivists, and we have to open our minds up to that. You're not always right. Thank you all again for tuning in. I appreciate it. O'Shea Davis with the Work and Wonder Podcast Show.
Work.
I'm out.
Wonder World.
Work.
Wonder World.
Transmitting live to Sydney, Melbourne, Adelaide, Hobart, and Brisbane.